Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. Hey, Dog Pound, your team made 9 game-changing plays yesterday. Let me make, verify that because I know you guys want to go to 5. I'm sorry. 5 game-changing plays yesterday, which means your game-changer multiplier is 6 times today only at Horseshoe Casino Cleveland. Make sure you get to Horseshoe today to redeem your game-changer multiplier. That's a rush of 10 or more yards. Crow had a couple of those. A pass of 20 or more yards. We had a couple of those, and we had 1 turnover. So that's the 5. That's why the game-changer multiplier is 6 only today at Horseshoe Casino in Cleveland. So get out there and check it out. Take advantage of your multiplier. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and of course Joe Juravicius here in the Dog Bowl reacting to the Browns' late season slide. 4 in a row they have dropped. They find themselves at 7-8. Chevy in New Jersey, welcome to the show.
Guys, I just want to talk about Brian Hoyer early going back to last year. He was throwing that ball to covered receivers. He was finding the open guy. And then yesterday when he came in, he threw that play to Gordon. He must have had 5 guys around him. He put that ball where only Gordon could get it. Do you really think Manziel's going to be that guy at some point? That's kind of questionable. So I think it's about personnel. You got Gibson. You got that D lineman that came out injured. Then we stopped the ball after he came out. And I think it's about personnel. I don't necessarily think it's about confidence. What do you guys think?
I think personnel has something to do with it. I think the quarterback is the ultimate key. I think when you look around the NFL, the teams that are good have good quarterbacks. And I think that is the key to success. And then, of course, sustained success in the NFL. And right now, the Browns don't know. I mean, I think for people to say Johnny for sure is going to be bad, I think it's just as foolish for people that say Johnny is for sure going to be good. I don't think anybody can have any idea just yet what kind of player Johnny Manziel is going to be in the NFL basically 6 quarters into his rookie season.
No, I agree. And I as much as I'd love to pass judgment this soon, I think the NFL is and each and every Sunday, which we have yet to see Johnny, you know, start and finish a football game in my eyes that was worth watching, it's a proving ground. And so, therefore, I think that we have to continue to be, you know, with an open mind that and understand that Johnny Manziel, there's not going to be enough value to trade him and his cap number to keep Johnny Manziel on the roster, which all of us have said, Ray Guy, myself, Joe, Nathan, callers, everybody is, the kid needs to decide to be a pro, and these next 8 months will be the largest 8 months of his professional career because he has to prove a lot to himself. He has to learn this game and prove it to this organization because, as you said, Joe, I do believe they're going to go out and get somebody. It's not going to be a first-round draft pick. They may draft a quarterback late, but I think they're going to bring a veteran in here to compete and have that safety net, you know, if Johnny Manziel does not, you know, continue to push forward or, you know, project to the way he can in the National Football League.
There is no question it's going to be the biggest offseason of his career at any level. You have got – these guys are going to have people in Texas or wherever Johnny's going to hang out watching him. I mean, that's just kind of the reality of this game. You know, if you've got to put the swan floaty in the cold tub here to keep him around here, then – let's do it. You know, I'll pitch in and buy him one. Boy, I like to have fun too, man. I'll be more than happy to stick around. But again, the book's not closed on the guy, but you do have to bring somebody. You know, confidence, talent around him. Listen, we've had guys that have been making plays. We know Josh Gordon has talent, but Josh, I don't know if he's been working as hard as he probably should be considering he's been gone for such a long time. I don't think he's come in to make the difference that he said he was going to make. Does he have the talent level? Of course. No question. I think Hawkins has been playing really good football. You know, we've seen glimpses of good running back play,
yep.
You know, from the Crow. I think we have. I don't think it's necessarily a talent issue. I think that in order for us to take the next step, we have got to find that guy, that one consistent that takes the snap from our center.
I do agree with that about the quarterback position. But, I mean, can we all collectively say that I believe the detriment of this offense has been the offensive line? Because we have the talent at running back. And we have flashes of ability at the quarterback position, both with Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel. And I think we have the weapons to throw to as well. And I think the inconsistency of the offensive line has led to the inconsistency of the quarterback play and also, too, our ability to run the football, which is, as we saw early in the season, when it's good, we're
the
very
key to the team.
It's the key to the team.
You know, it's funny you said that. You know, I'm a Cowboy fan for one reason. Jason Garrett's a buddy of mine. And if you watch what the Cowboys have done, you know, they haven't taken those sexy picks recently. They've been drafting, you know, good quality offensive linemen. And they went from a team that was the laughingstock of the NFL, you know, 8-8 and missing playoffs every year, to a team that has now won their division, and are going into the playoffs. And they've got an offensive line that when you do watch reruns of the game, Tony Romo's got some protection back.
Yeah, he does.
He's got good Murray. 6-7s. He's doing Murray, obviously, toting the ball, but they're just the offensive line, what Nate just said, is huge. And, again, if we get Alex Mack back, I'm really happy with what we have at that center position. If Alex can come back and play healthy all the way to the left side to Joe Thomas, I like that, right?
Yeah, I like that a lot as well. John in Dallas, welcome to CBD.
Hey, fellas, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, not bad. Hey, I just want to make a couple comments. I don't think Johnny was near as bad as a lot of people are making out from yesterday. I thought, you know, when he had chances to sit in the pocket, he made some good throws. I don't understand why Shanahan had him running around all over the place. The play where he got hurt was just ridiculous. You just don't run that play in the pros. And, you know, you look at – everybody wants to talk about Russell Wilson and, you know, even Ben Roethlisberger when he was a rookie. You know, those guys came into systems where they basically handed the ball off for a 1 or 2 years. They had great defenses. They ran the ball. We have neither right now. I don't want to be labeled a Johnny Mafia or whatever they call it. I just think everybody needs to chill out, give the chance, and hopefully he grows up a little bit and gives us something, because otherwise we're going to be waiting a long time, man.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but the word that I don't like is hopefully. Like, listen, either you've got to be the professional or you're not going to be the professional. And we all know in this league, if you don't step up your game in the classroom, in the meeting rooms, on the field, on the practice field, game field, they find the next guy. So I think the writing is on the wall for him. Do I think he has a talent? Of course he does. I mean, the guy's a freak athletically. The other side of it, too, though, is if you don't step your game up, you have to move on. This is a business where you can't wait around forever to say, oh, this guy, either he's got it. We've got to know now. And listen, these guys that are playing, the Dansbys, the Whitners, the Joe Thomases.
Clock's ticking.
You don't think those guys want to be in the playoffs today? They don't want to wait till next year. They want to be in there today. So that's why I think this whole thing boils down to, listen, Johnny, you've got to make your decision, man. You've got to let us know. You've got to be the guy. You've got to be accountable. Because if you expect these guys to be working out here during the offseason, we expect to see you here too. And we expect to see you here maybe even a little bit more perfecting your craft.
Well, that's what he said. He would rededicate himself this offseason because he wants to be the guy.
Sure. And I think also too is for me, as a lot of teams that I was a part of, those end of the season coaching meetings that you have, as uncomfortable as they are, what I hope Mike Pettin can be and these coordinators and coaches can be with these players is realistic, and also too is create an identity. And I think that's something that has wavered, you know, from time to time. We had early in the season and has wavered because all these players need to be bought into what's going on and a part of who we are. And I think, Johnny Manziel has changed a little bit offensively with, you know, the way we block things or the certain types of plays or the certain routes that he likes to run, because we're bending to fit one player. So everything has to be very clear leaving here so that they know exactly what they're coming back to be a part of.
Those coming to Jesus meetings at the end of the season when we're going to find out. You can tell by your coach's demeanor whether you're going to be around next year
Absolutely.
Or not. But you're right. There's no question that, you know, there's some of the hierarchy here are going to have to talk with Johnny and kind of lay down the law. I mean, ultimately, Jimmy Haslam pays the guys checks, signs them. So we've got to listen to somebody. All of us do, because we're not the boss here, right?
That's certainly. We are not the boss here. All right, let's get right now. We've got Pat in Brooklyn. Welcome, Pat.
Hey, thanks.
How are you doing today?
I really only have one comment in watching all this. All the hype about Johnny Manziel.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to be the quarterback where he's going to have that monkey on my back. I wouldn't also like to be the monkey.
I wouldn't want to be the monkey either.
I don't want to be the monkey either because people put so much stock in the hype that how do you live up to that? And that goes for any job when you're whoever you are. If you got somebody standing behind you ready to take your job, if you screw up, you are going to screw up.
Listen, everybody who's a quarterback in the NFL is going to face a lot of pressure. He comes in with a lot of hype because of what he accomplished in college. And yes, he is. It's going to be tough for him, and we're seeing how difficult it's been already for him this season in a very short period of time. Listen, Johnny Manziel, I'm sure, loves being Johnny Manziel.
Yeah,
I think he relishes in that. I think that's part of who he is, and I think now he realizes after a season, and yes, there are people who are going to say, well, why does he say he needs to work harder this offseason? Shouldn't he have worked that hard in his first offseason? And that's, I'm not going to debate that or say that's an unfair comment, but he's got to get it right, or he's going to be, as you said, he's going to be out. At some point, it doesn't matter where you're drafted anymore. At some point, you either can play in this league or you can't play in this league.
Well, Matt and I talk about this all the time. If you're going to be a pro, the difference between, you know, Matt was an All-American at Ohio State, national championship. The difference between college and pros, it's just so significant that it's hard to explain to people. Yes, guys at the Division I level, some squeak in at two in Division III. There's a lot of people that make it in the NFL, but the guys that stick around for the longest, man, they're playing hard, they're perfecting their craft, and they've got luck on their side too, don't kid yourself.
Yes.
But the other side of that thing is everybody at this level can play, and if you don't prepare to play game in, game out during practice, to show your coaching staff, to show the front office, and show your teammate, they always bring the next guy in.
Absolutely. And again, I reference him all the time. I learned a lot from him. Greg Minuski, defensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts, played 12 years in the National Football League. And he started three games is an entire career. He was a backup linebacker. He played Minnesota, Kansas City, but he knew every linebacker position and their role, that when he came in and needed to fill in a spot, they didn't skip a beat. And he wasn't the biggest or fastest. He was the smartest. It was because he studied and he watched and he sat back. And when his opportunity came, he did the right things enough for them to win football games. And that's what it takes to survive. And again, to your point, Joe, it's about him being a pro. Because if it was he's too slow, he's too this, he's too that, he'd have been out of the league in 4 years.
Yeah.
But because he knew his job and his role on that football team, he played 12.
This is a game on Sundays. It's a game on Sundays, but before Sunday, this thing's a job. You know? And if you start to treat it like that, I honestly believe that if you treat this game like a job, you know, Monday all the way up until your game time on Sunday, that it'll take care of you. It really will take care of you. If you prepare, you study, you know not only what your job is, but if you have the time and you're putting the effort in, you're going to know what everybody else is around you. And that only makes you a better football player. So to me, talent level, we know it's all there. The thing that's going to separate the men from the boys right now is, you know, who's putting their time in inside that classroom and who is being a true professional.
Certainly the Browns are going to look. That's what happens when – and the thing that's sad, not sad, but what happens, all these questions, all these kind of discussions come up when you go on a four-game losing streak, when you're 7-4 and find yourself now at 7-8, potentially looking to finish season at 8-8 at best, or at 7-9 on a five-game losing streak, which nobody here wants at all.
No.
When we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. There were some positives in the Browns game, and we will talk about those as this show goes on. Jim Donovan still to come, Gerard Cherry still to come, and we'll hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, as CBD rolls on.